Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to tie up some loose ends talking about time, and then start talking about a different approach to our relationship with God and some thoughts about Christianity in general, what it really means, and what is the simplicity of devotion to Christ. What are the things that we can be doing to have relationship with God? And they are simple and clear and practical. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about some concluding thoughts on time. We've talked about how crucial it is to understand how what our beliefs are matter. If we think we are a victim of time, our past, our present, our future, then we will behave accordingly. And time will rob us of our living as a spirit being with eternal life in a particular area. If you believe that in the past, for instance, you have, shall we say, missed God's will for you in an area, you made the wrong choice, you made a mistake, or somebody else made a mistake, or you believed something that wasn't true, and somehow you think that that something in the past has kept you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life, you're believing a lie. Because you are God's purpose in your life. And every circumstance in your life is completely under the control of God. When we look at choices, we think that there's, God says, okay, here's your choices, pick one, and it better be the right one, or you're going to ruin everything I had planned for you. Hopefully, when you stop and think about that, you will see how petty that portrayal of God is. And yet, it's not only something we easily believe, but it's also something that's taught in many or most mainstream denominations. That God has a perfect will for you, and that if you follow a certain chain, if you have the right doctrines, do the right things, attend the right church, you will be in God's perfect will, then nothing will ever go wrong. Everything will always go right. You'll be in perfect peace and tranquility and prosperity your entire life. You'll always have his blessings, and you'll always be at peace. Everything will go right with your family, with your health, with your finances. In other words, you do what God wants you to do, and you will always sit at his right hand, God's purpose for you. His purpose for you is for you to know him. Think about Adam and Eve. They had that existence. They communed with God. They knew him spirit to spirit. They knew each other spirit to spirit. They had all the blessings. We have no idea. Let's say they were in the garden for 17 billion years. They could have been. however many years you want to think, they were there communing with each other, communing with God, with nothing bad ever happening to them. Perfection, a perfect existence. They were only lacking one thing. They never knew anything different. They could not appreciate, they could not value God, because he was always there. He'd always been there. Nothing bad had ever happened in their life, so they could not value the good. His presence was always there, so they could never value it. And we do not value what costs us nothing. They did not value God because he was always there. So when we start looking at time and we make draw misconceptions about its effect in our life, it robs us of being able to value what is important in our lives. And it's not what you achieve or being in whatever you can perceive as God's perfect will for you. And this notion that he has multiple wills. He has one will for a perfect will and another for a permissive will and another for, you know, our exhibiting of a free will. Well, let me just remind you, you don't have a free will until your whole soul is free. God is in the process of giving you a free will. Right now, your free will, quote unquote, your will, your mind, your will and emotions, your soul is a slave to your history, your genetics, your beliefs, your needs, your wants, your desires, your teachings, the time you were born. Your mind is anything but free. Your will is anything but free. Your emotions are anything but free. But they're in the process of becoming free. God is setting you free. He is setting your will free, your mind free, your emotions free. But that freedom is not to do whatever they want. Right now, your soul, your will, your mind, your emotions are in chains. They are slaves to their own way of doing things, their own way of getting their needs met. But as they are set free, they join to the Spirit, to your Spirit within you, which has already joined to the Spirit of God, which is one. So we are becoming one, spirit, soul, and body, as God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're all becoming one, which is the prayer Jesus prayed for us. So that's his purpose for us. Let's join him, that we would be one, as he and the Father are one. So if that's what he wants for us, it must be possible. And it's something he wants for us. Let's join him in becoming one with him. Now, he didn't put any qualifications on that. He never said, unless they screw up, unless they miss you. Father, if they miss your perfect will, then they're done. They're just going to have to sit in the back lane, watch what your purpose was for them be given to someone else, or, you know, these thing about crowns and mantles. If you miss it, God has to give it to somebody else. That's a bunch of baloney. God doesn't need any of us to accomplish his will and purposes. He wants us to be involved, not because it helps him, but because it's good for us. How do you learn to be a son of God? by being a son of God, by being tasked with learning discernment, learning how to exercise authority, learning how to be good management of resources, learning how to find that balance between support and correcting of your brothers and sisters, your co-sons. Whatever it is you need for that healing, that freeing, that revealing of those lies you're believing, God has arranged those circumstances for you. But if we attribute that to making a mistake in the past, well, the reason, you know, in other words, the reason I'm not where I thought I should be is because I must have missed God in the past. Or somebody else missed something in the past. They didn't give me the right prayer for me, or they didn't give me the right blessing, or they didn't teach me the right thing I needed to be taught. Couldn't have done that all on his own. So what is robbing us? In fact, let's stop right now. Lord, if there is anything that is robbing us of being in your presence presently, reveal it to us right now. If there is a lie, a wound, or a belief that needs to be altered, we give that to you right now. And we ask that you heal those wounds, reveal your truth, and do whatever you need to, that we can be in your presence in this present time and value our authority and our ownership of time. That anything, any time that needs to be redeemed, teach us to redeem it. Any preparation for tomorrow that we need to prepare, teach us to prepare for it. Because, Lord, we are living now. We are experiencing your eternal life, your presence now. And we give you permission to do whatever you need to, whatever you want to, in order to achieve that oneness that we all desire. We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. So let's conclude about some aspects of time. Again, God has revealed himself according to time. This is one of the reasons we don't want to bring our past with us if God has moved on, because it distorts our presentness. So when we bring the age of law into the age of grace, that distorts our understanding of grace and how God works. In the age of knowledge, which was before law even, God wanted man to become aware of his need for God. Then in the age of grace, now, God wants man to have that need met. In the age to come, which we are personally each entering into, God wants us to learn to live in dependence and freedom without any constraints from the law. And all that means, by first starting to rule and reign over ourselves. This is bringing our soul into dependence of our spirit, so that the Lord can reveal himself, can remove our flesh, can heal our wounds. Understand, you are not your soul. You are your spirit. And your spirit can bring your soul into alignment through cooperating with God. God removes your flesh. And this is where we're going to move into practical Christianity to talk about what can you do And it's amazing. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And yet it's too simple. If God asked us to move to Africa, to start a church, to give away everything we had, we would look at things that we could do and would want to do, as then we would deserve the blessings of God. But God's requests on us are actually quite simple. And yet, they are profound because they affect every aspect of our life. There are really only two things we can give to God. That's our time and our attention. And even these, God has to reveal and change and make us able to relinquish that time and attention to Him. As you start giving Him your time and attention, He'll ask for more. And your awareness increases and grows, that you'll be able to start perceiving His presence in subtle ways, that you'll feel a breeze or a presence, and you'll recognize He wants my attention. And we'll talk about how do you react to that, how do you treat that. It is because our time and attention are so valuable to God that they are also the battleground where we fight our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So this is one of the reasons the tyranny of the urgent has taken such a toll on believers. And it's a good weapon by our enemies and by those who believe they're serving God. We feel the pressure to be producing, and producing more, and producing it now, to prove our spirituality, to be promoted to the next level, to be pleasing God, to be worshiping Him and honoring Him as if He needs that, to earn and gain and keep the blessing and gifts of God that He has given to us, as if He would take them away, as if He had changed His mind. What God wants from our time is our attention. We all have the same amount of time during the day in the natural. We all have 24 hours. Again, ask the Lord to reveal to you if there is any area where you are spending too much or too little time. Then depend on Him to make through you whatever changes may be necessary to make the most of the time you have. Now, He may say, spending too much time over here, and I want you to spend it over here, and it may not be on Him. He may say, you need to quit this club over here and spend more time with your kids. These are the things that we are learning to hear from Him, test what we hear, and act on them. We're in process. We are learning to live and move and have our being as a spirit being in the spirit realm. What does the spirit look like as a person in this earth? So far, our only example has been Jesus. And we only know Him from afar. But we know enough that He Himself said, greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. And yet, He was the Father. He was one with the Father. So we know that whatever we're doing, whatever we're believing, it's not what Jesus meant, because we're not doing anything near what Jesus did. I'm talking on a broad scale. This is one of the another area where we want to be able to go to the Lord and say, how am I doing? And let him say, you're right on the right track. That's so much what so many of us just want to know. How are we doing? This always goes, you know, this even has that aspect of the time. Have I missed you? God knows you need encouragement. And he gives it freely. So let him speak to you. And remember, a lot of times you're not hearing any course correction from him because you are on the right track. You don't need to change any direction. If you were off track, that's when you'd be hearing from him. So when you're asking him, as long as you know how to test what you're hearing, if you're not getting a new direction or a correction, just keep going. It's his responsibility to direct your path. Excuse me. Now remember that since God created time, he controls it. And he recreates it. In fact, I think sometimes that we can look back at incidents in our lives that made such a huge impact, and we think still make such a huge impact. And when we look back, God has gone back and just softened all the edges. And everybody that was associated with that event or that decision, everything's fine. He just goes back and he softens the whole thing or changes the outcome that we thought was going to happen. And this is one of the ways that he starts to teach us about our own authority. When we talk about redeeming the time, redemption is always past tense. You can't redeem something until it's past time that it's due. So he's given us liberty to learn to make mistakes. And then if necessary, go back and soften those mistakes. But God created time. He controls it, and he does whatever he wants with it. He shortens time. He lengthens it. He twists it around. He overlaps it. We run into people we never thought we'd see again, or are separated from people we thought we'd spend the rest of our lives with. But we want to remember that God created time and controls it. He created every single second of your day, like right now. This very second, God created it. And every single circumstance in your life, right this second, he's in control of and arranged for you, for this moment to occur in your life. And just as he created every piece of sand in the ocean on the beach, every star, every molecule of air, he created it, he controls it. In fact, he has so much time on his hands that he is spending every second of every minute of every hour of every day doing nothing but thinking and planning, arranging and rejoicing over every circumstance in your past, your future, and your present for you, for what's best for you, for your oneness, for your healing, your encouragement, your truth, whatever you need. He has arranged. He is spending all his time thinking good thoughts for you and arranging your circumstances for you. So we can relax. We can agree with God that His plans for us are good. And don't let your past rob you of your now. And don't let your fear of the future keep you from preparing. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you, but you can be prepared. God wants you ready. He will make you ready. In your spirit, you already are. Because you're in your spirit, you already know what your future holds. Not only in the next 10 minutes, but the next 10 days, the next 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years. Your spirit already knows who you truly are. Not only knows, but has control over it. We are cooperating with God in exercising our authority over time. Remember, our time here on this earth is a fleeting moment. But there are things that we can learn here that we may not be able to learn anywhere else or in the same way, that He has purposed our time here on this earth to learn and be and change and make the most of it. So let's join Him, whatever He's doing in each of our individual lives, and enjoy the process. A lot of times it seems like things are terrible, terrible circumstances. And people lose their lives. I think about natural disasters. And we call those acts of God. Because they can't be predicted and they can't be prevented. We can only recognize He is in control. And then we learn, okay, Lord, how do we know You? And this is where we get into some practical aspects of what is truly Christianity in the age of grace, in the age that we are in. What is relationship? It's not denomination. It's not knowing, memorizing your Bible. It's not going to the right church. You don't have to be a Christian to do all those things. You don't have to be a Christian to read your Bible, to memorize it, to be a pastor. You don't have to have been born again. You don't have to have a new, renewed spirit. Those are all things that are done in the soul. But when we talk about practical Christianity, we're talking about knowing how God works in our lives and ways we can cooperate with Him on a day-to-day basis in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. So it's a very personal relationship. Christianity is a personal relationship with a personal God. And practical Christianity is about that relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, and with the Father. We want to know how to relate to God, how to do it. God wants us to do it, so there must be a way to do it. And He will teach us, because we can't learn this on our own. So we want to learn, we want to know, we acknowledge we want to know God, and that He wants us to know Him, then we just have to do it. Practical Christianity is not just theory. A lot of times we'll hear teachings about faith and doctrine, about knowing God, in such religious terms that our relationship with Him becomes separate from our day-to-day lives. But God wants us to know Him in reality, acting on, testing, and proving what we hear. What we hear from Him. If what we're hearing, what we're learning, doesn't work, we are to pursue God until we find something that does. And by work, I mean, does it bring us into a greater dependence on Him? Not fulfilling our purpose in life, not accomplishing something He wants, that or we perceive He wants, but about that personal relationship. And we will pick it up here next week If you have any questions or comments or want to give some feedback, it's always great to hear from you. My address is diane@therainersclub.org, or you can use the contact form at therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. We'll be getting back together again next week, the same time. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.